Welcome back to Dog Pound Report. We've already covered round one, the rookies, and we've shown you a behind-the-scenes look at their first 24 hours as members of the Cleveland Browns. Now let's move on to those ever-important later rounds, and joining us in her Dog Pound Report debut is Mary Kay Cabot, Browns beat reporter for the Northeast Ohio Media Group, Cleveland.com, Plain Dealer, you know the whole show. Welcome, Mary Kay. What'd you think of the draft?
Well, thanks, guys. Well, my first impression was I was waiting for them to try to trade up for Marcus Mariota. I kept thinking that there was a quarterback somewhere around the corner, Sam Bradford, Bryce Petty, someone. But when that never happened, I got over it. They really wowed and dazzled in this draft. Added 12 players, beefed up those lines. In the AFC North, they are going to dominate those lines of scrimmage, and that's what you really need to do. Then they added pieces and parts to fill in places, and they got some really dynamic players.
All right, Ray Farmer had plenty of things to say about those later rounds, so let's get to some of those comments about day two of the draft.
Each one's different. For us, you know, you take a look at who's available and kind of how the draft is going. And so from our perspective, you look at the second round move and it seemed like everybody was target shooting. People were trading up. So when people trade up a lot, it seems like they're more target shooting on, I have a specific guy that I want and I'm going to get him. So from that perspective, we felt better about certain guys making it to a certain point in the draft. So calculated risk. And thank God it worked out for us.
Yeah, just explain what you saw in Nate Orchard. I know he's a guy you guys have been talking to back to the Senior Bowl.
He is a difference maker. The guy plays like a Brown. We talk about those attributes and relentlessness and toughness and competitive and accountable. I mean, the guy, when you watch the tape, he's all of those things and more. I mean, you watch the Senior Bowl tape, you watch his production at Utah. This is a guy that loves the game, plays the game like he loves the game, and so those are all attractive qualities for us.
What stood out to you about Duke Johns when you watched the film?
Just the versatility in how he could play. The guy can run the football, he can catch it, he can block, he can return kicks and punts, and you know he's going to contribute to this roster in a variety of ways. I think it's interesting because the guys are short, and people tend to say he gets pigeonholed or pegged as a third down back, when in reality, from our mind, we feel this guy can do a little bit of everything.
Mary Kay, so on day two, you get Nate Orchard, 18 and a half sacks. You get Duke Johnson, who, believe it or not, for all the versatility talk, is the leading rusher in the history of the U. When you think about Clinton Portis, Willis McGahee, Edgerrin James, Frank Gore, that's pretty amazing. Then Xavier Cooper, the defensive tackle. How'd the Browns do on day two?
Well, you know, it was an exciting day two. The minute they picked Duke Johnson, I got a text from a high-level NFL executive that said, I love that running back. And you could tell that he was very jealous that the Browns got him. As far as Nate Orchard, if you go back and you look at his history, what I like about him and what I like about Danny Shelton is they've overcome adversity. They're passionate. They're hungry. This game means everything to them. So if you get a chance, really read a little bit about Nate Orchard's background. He ran away from home, a couple of different times, and he really loves this game now.
That's right.
And 18 and a half sacks, second in the country. Duke Johnson, again, like you said, he can catch passes out of the backfield. And then you move on to Xavier Cooper. When we talked to Vince Maley later, he said he's never seen a big man that can run that fast and is that athletic.
All right, so that was day two. Let's talk a little bit more about day three because the team had a total of 12 picks. Here's what Mike Pettine had to say about the third day.
We were very excited as a staff because if you go back and kind of look at our pre-draft notes and just kind of getting a feel for different rounds and where we thought we might be picking the players we targeted, we got a lot of them. And the players we got, there is a common theme that they're all competitive, productive, tough guys. So we're you don't want to say thrilled, but cautiously optimistic about this draft class. We're looking forward to them getting here and getting them out on the field. We had a better sense of what we're looking for. So I think when we identified guys this year that, we got a chance to interact with them, and I thought we did an outstanding job of the draft preparation that Ray and the rest of the personnel staff was very much on the same page with the coaches as far as what we were looking for. You want to always keep churning that roster and bringing guys in here to compete and we're going to play the best players regardless of how they were acquired.
Now, we thought when the Browns came in this draft with 10 picks, maybe they'd pick seven players. Well, they picked seven on day three, Mary Kay. What do you think about the haul, including the wide receiver that they brought in on day three?
Well, you know what? I thought I was back in the expansion era where the Browns had 14 picks in 1999 and 14 picks again in 2000, and they just kept coming. But the good thing about day three is they filled a lot of needs, and they did some very, very interesting things here. Charles Gaines, the more I studied up on Charles Gaines, the cornerback who has good production out of Louisville, he was supposed to go in the second or third round. He's another one of those guys, overcame a ton of adversity. He had some suspensions and things in his past. He's turned it around, and football means everything to them. This was a theme in this draft, I think, guys like that that are so passionate about this game. And then other guys like Hayes Pullard, the linebacker from USC, he wrote an open letter to NFL GMs and coaches 2 days before the draft, telling all about himself. And if you get a chance to read that letter, it's pretty cool. And then you move all the way to the seventh round, and Ifo, I'm not going to try to say the rest of it, but Ifo is a guy that if he can come back from this torn ACL, and it's like Charles Johnson, you can get a starting player the following year.
Yeah, you got a red shirt, and this is a guy who would have been a first or second round pick. If he came out last year, he might have been a first round pick. That's what this, when you have those picks at the end, this is a steal. This is, could be the best pick in the whole draft.
Here, let me just bring this up, because when the Browns make a trade in the first round, it's huge news. 12 picks this year. And I think when you don't make those trades in the first round, everybody goes, oh, that guy's a genius. Isn't it? It's amazing what public perception is.
Well, yeah, that is absolutely true. But the thing that stands out to me about this draft is that Ray Farmer and Mike Pettine really were in lockstep this draft.
Oh, yeah.
When you go back to last year, they were all kind of hastily thrown together. Ray wasn't exactly sure what Mike Pettine was looking for or the other coaches. They got the coaches involved early this time, and they were all on the same page, and they are very excited about these 12 players.
All right, Mary Kay, thank you so much. We will read you on Cleveland.com and in the Plain Dealers Hall. Thanks for being
thank
here
you.
Today. We're going to be right back.
Coming up next on Dog Pound Report, see what Cameron Irving told us on the gold carpet minutes before he officially became a Brown. And don't miss this fan's once-in-a-lifetime trip to Chicago for a memorable jersey handoff to Commissioner Roger Goodell.